Lord, bless the words of my mouth this day. May it bring you glory and praise. May we learn more of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, who knows what tomorrow is? 1st of August, absolutely. What's the 1st of August? It's our holiday. No, it's not just our holiday. It's also a special time of year. I'm looking, Pete might know. No. It's Lammas Day. There we go. So does anybody know what Lammas Day is about? No. Okay. Well, I was reminded it very much yesterday as we went to a retirement party back in where I did my curacy, and the farmers are gathering in the first harvest, the beginning of the harvest. So Lammastide is an ancient Christian festival which many villages and farming communities are rediscovering in recent years. Lammas is an Anglo-Saxon word for loaf. So the stuff I prepared for the children this morning is all about loaves. Unfortunately, there aren't any. This Christian festival is about thanking God for the start of the harvest. Traditionally, corn and bread are offered as symbols of this thanksgiving. Historically, communities pull together to bring in the harvest. I'm reading some of the stories of Molly Harrison, I think it is, her stories, you know, very much the whole community gathering together to bring in the harvest. And a loaf was baked from that first grains of the harvest and was shared together, a bit like we're going to with communion in a little while. And that's why bread is the symbol of Lammas. Now, there are certain points in the Christian calendar that remind us of the importance of the world around us. We remember the environment, especially at times like Lammas, thinking of the needs of farmers and the changing weather conditions and challenges we're facing. We're called as Christians to care for creation and to keep climate justice on the agenda at all times. This week, I'm sure that you're all aware, is the Lambeth Conference. I think we're day 5 or something of that now. Bishops are gathering in Canterbury from across 165 countries of the Anglican Communion for the Lambeth Conference. The theme is God's Church for God's World. And the major challenges faced by global communities, they'll be discussing, amongst other things, climate change. In his letter to delegates, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, highlights the climate emergency and calls on the conference to discern the Holy Spirit's directing in what it means to be God's church for God's world in this area. Now, I wonder if you remember the summer of 1976. Yeah, I was 5, so possibly. But everyone tells me it was extremely hot. And yet it's nothing compared to what we're experiencing now. Did you know that the 6 hottest days recorded in the UK have occurred since 1976? And so far, we have had only a quarter of the rainfall we would have expected by this time of year. And we are now facing, as I'm sure many of you heard on the news, hose pipe bans because of the droughts. So it's important, isn't it then, to keep climate justice on our agenda. As a diocese, we have a monthly update. I don't know if you receive it, but something called Care for Creation. We're an eco-diocese, who knew, promising net zero carbon by 2030 and broader targets by 2035. So our faith is linked to our care for our environment. If we think about it, 70% of the Earth's surface is covered by oceans. And 97.5% of water is salinated water. and therefore not suitable for drinking. With increased population, our current use of water is not sustainable. Water shortages and available water supplies is a real problem in many parts of the world. So this is the aspect, particularly of climate, I want us to think about today. I'm going to invite Chris forward, if that's okay, to share in a few words what he's doing. Is that okay? Lovely. So, Chris, you've traditionally, I understand, done various things around social action in the summer. What got you started these sort of projects?
Well, I've been raising money over the years for different communities around the world that I've come to know through online friends. And this year, particularly, I've been chatting with a Christian woman in Pakistan for the last 3 years. She works with the brick kiln families in Pakistan, near a settlement where she lives. Desperately poor people, and these families eke out a sort of basic existence with even children as young as five helping make bricks, and that's all they do all day. But they don't have a source of water nearby. So they have a long journey every day just to fetch their water, and their lives are quite difficult, obviously. And she's been working, doing all sorts of things to try and improve their lives. So one of the things that we've chatted about is the fact that a well would make a massive difference to their lives. Just a simple well to near their community. There's, I think, about 40 families involved who would use this community well. So what I'm hoping to do is to walk 100 kilometres in August to raise sponsorship to get money to help these people dig their well. So that's my challenge to myself.
Brilliant. And how are you doing that? Are you going to set yourself a target each week? Guessing you're not going to do all that in one go.
No, it works out just over 3 kilometres a day. Okay. So my plan is to do one or two longer walks each week and then a regular walk every day, a shorter walk every day to keep it topped up. So, you know, I've got a number of walks planned around my local area. It's been fun looking at all the possible routes. I'm going to explore some brand new places I've not been before. So,
great. And I think you're happy for people to join you at various points?
Yeah, that would be fantastic. If anybody's got a favourite walk that they'd like me to come and share, that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Or if you would like to come and join one of mine, that would be also awesome. I'd really enjoy that.
Yeah. So a really practical way in which we can make a difference to these families. And how can we support you in that? You said about sponsorship.
Yeah. So I'm going to, I should bring a sponsor form next week. And if you want to sponsor even a couple of pounds, anything you can give would be absolutely fantastic. I also have an online GoFundMe donation page. And hopefully we'll put that in the notices. Would that
be
possible?
Yeah.
So we can put an online link. Oh, and put it on the website. Fantastic, Jane's signalling to me. So if you're happy using online donation, then obviously for the month I'm keeping that open. Hopefully some of my online friends will donate that way.
Chris, that's brilliant. I think we need to give Chris a round of applause for his effort. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So what a wonderful, practical example where God's church for God's world can meet people's actual physical needs, particularly around this area of climate challenge, with physical needs for water. I do hope that you will support Chris, as I'm looking at my husband to say we need to, because we're going away, we need to support Chris in that too. So I fully back what you're doing. So as we turn to, for a moment, our Bible readings for today, Jesus shows the way to the source of living water, our source of true life. Once again, we find ourselves amongst the Samaritans. Samaria was a place to be avoided, and yet we see Jesus stopping here for refreshment, talking to a woman of questionable reputation at that. Jesus reveals himself to her as the Messiah. He speaks of living water, a phrase that at times was used to describe running water, water in a stream or a river, not water from a well. But Jesus isn't referring to physical running water here. He's referring to the new life that he is offering to everyone. And everyone means everyone, regardless of their gender, their ethnicity, or their moral standing. This living water is a symbol of new life, born in each of us, that not only quenches our thirst, but becomes a spring bubbling up inside and overflowing into the world around us, causing us to do acts of loving service, like Chris was just talking about. Jesus offers us living water this morning. And as we start to drink, it will change every area of our lives. We are brought fully to life. The woman at the well was thirsty, and she looked in all sorts of places to quench her thirst. But here, she meets with the source of living water that will truly meet her deepest needs. Here we too can find God's eternal hope, the Good Shepherd, who leads his people to springs of living water. I wonder what living water looks like to you today. This woman found true relationship, intimacy, acceptance, forgiveness, true meaning and purpose. So what are you thirsty for today? Are you thirsty for a close friendship with God? Are you thirsty for acceptance of who you are? Are you thirsty for forgiveness and belonging? Or are you thirsty for deep meaning and purpose in your life? 3 weeks ago, I spoke about loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And it's from this place that you can love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God is about drinking deeply from that living water. This living water is available to us all. So seek and you will find it. And as you find it, it will shape your lives and new life will pour forth to others. Living water causes us to love our neighbours radically and to be God's church for God's world, even in the face of climate challenges. Amen.